Person in abusive relationship. How? When do you know it's time? Go.
I think when you start believing the things that people say about you, that that person who is abusing you, when you start believing that you deserve it, when you start making excuses, when you start realizing that you are believing what the perpetrator is saying about you, then you know you are too far gone to continue.
This is a Baby Brunch
You're on Baby Brunch. We get to chat to many people, and even just setting up today's shot with our beautiful personality. Oh, I was quite excited. I realize that she wears many hats. She wears a hat of motherhood, music, purpose. She's building businesses. I'm so surprised and amazed to see how much information is online where you are singing. I'm so inspired. So, friends, Baby Brunch audience, today we're chatting to Stephanie Botman. You didn't know I could whistle, right? Tell me, how are
I never
you?
learned that.
I know my dad tried to teach me to
I'm
whistle
well. How are you,
like
my
this,
friend?
but I couldn't. So I just still whistle like a girl, like me.
Yeah, it amazes me how girls are able to do that. I always felt like it's a boy thing to do.
You wear so many hats, and even today, you let me know that you've just stepped out of what did you even do? Like, what was your day like?
I kijk net elke 2 jaar of so a publicity shoot. Because every time before the show starts and before they go to commercial breaks, then they say Diepe Waters says
Wait,
achtendertig or
I
whatever.
can do the voice. Okay, wait. What must I say?
Volgende in Diepe Waters.
Okay, volgende in diepe waters.
Ja,
And then your picture's
dat
there,
is right.
right?
Dit jou stem wat hulle gebruik.
No, I'm not the voiceover artist. Oh,
Ja, so
wow.
dan neem hulle publicity fotos vir sulke goed, jy weet.
Okay.
So ja. I always get nervous because I'm not a trained poser. I'm a trained actor and singer. The rest, no.
For those of you that don't know Stephanie, so I've seen her in so many different places. So Stephanie is an actor, like she's mentioned. I've seen her uplift audiences where she uses her talent of singing to help children, like literally. Like she's a role model and she's a consultant for many high school students that want to sing and be like her. Then she's also a performer and an entrepreneur. And Stephanie, I thought I want to bring you here today because you're probably the one mom that I know. But dear Shufil Alvasal, like you've been through growing up just like me in Cape Town, then you made it in entertainment. You have had money, loss, excitement, not excitement, joy, sadness. You've had all those emotions. Yet when I see you and when I see you in the makeup room, like the other day, it always feels to me like you are winning. And you're always so kind. So how
Thank
come,
you.
as a mommy and as a person, it never looks like you're burdened? What's your secret?
I think I learned early in my life, you fake it till you make it. And I think that has a lot to do with faith, because my parents are both pastors. So faith has always been part of my life. Growing up with the word of God has always just been who I am. And then I learned that faith is the substance of things that you hope for. And the evidence of things that you don't see yet. And so my mom has always taught me to praise God for the things that you don't even have yet.
Amen.
So even if I'm sitting and they say tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, you must be there at so and so place, Voortrekker Monument, or waar ook al, en dan bly jy daai tyd in Melville en jy het nie 'n sent petrol nie. Maar jy sê ja, ek sal daar wees. Hoe laat? And then you're still joyful and hopeful, and somehow things just always finds a way to work itself out. So when I'm standing in a difficult situation, and I try to, and I remember the difficult times, I also remember all the good times that I went through, and then I know, okay, this too shall pass. And I think that's what kept me going all along.
Well, your
Yeah.
smile is making a whole lot of people smile, and your faith and your strong roots and your love for God is making other people show up. And What a beautiful reminder it is, I think, for all of us to remind ourselves what we grew up in and the values that our parents have taught us. We quickly need to say thank you to our support. Without them, this wouldn't be made possible. Thank you so much for all your support over the years. We want to say thank you to Epimax as well as Curaprox.
Curaprox aims to create 1 billion healthy smiles. A healthy mouth means a healthy body and mind, creating better health for you. Great oral health starts from day one. It's never too early to start. Curaprox Baby gets your child on the right path of starting healthy oral care habits for life. This podcast is supported by Epimax, the dermatologist-recommended skincare range specifically formulated to hydrate, soothe, and protect. Whether it's dry skin, sensitive skin, or just everyday moisture, Epimax has a solution for everybody. Fragrance-free, hypoallergenic, and suitable for all ages.
So wait a minute, if you're a pastor's child, right, then Ejim was groot geword met die kootjies. Where in Cape Town are you from? Because I couldn't even remember, like, us
I'm
even
from
talking
Belgium.
about this.
Yeah, I heard on the radio the other day that you are, where in Cape Town are you from?
So we grew up in Ravensmead, and then eventually we moved to
Ravensmead.
Bellville. But we praise the Lord in Elsie's River, ne? Yeah, and Matroosfontein.
Oh, no, I'm from Bellville South. So if you grew up in Bellville, you cross the bridge to the other side by the other people. That's where I was. And you were on the other side of Voortrekker Road by the other people. You
Yeah,
see?
but before I was with those other people, I was that side of Voortrekker Road. Close to Delaray Road, not Delahay, Delaray Road. And on that side, we all sang the same kootjies. Everything had a beat.
Yeah. We first lived in Belhar, and then from Belhar, we moved to Kales River. From Kales River, we moved to Bellville South. And that's where I finished my high school at Castles Fly High. What high school were you at?
So I went to Ravensmead High for 1 year, and then I went to Para High School. Still today, I do a lot of visits, and I think my home is in Matroosfontein, because that's where the people that prayed for me and that pray for
Yes.
me until this day, I know that.
Yes.
They are all in
Yeah.
Matroosfontein, in the church that we grew up in. So, I mean, I have a very strong connection to Matroosfontein, Ravensmead, because I live there. And then, funny enough, not Bellville, but more like Paro High School and Stellenbosch, because that's where I did my tertiary. And then, you know, the high school and tertiary. Yeah. So, I mean, I thank God. I actually, this is a blessing. I thank God that the people that I grew up with, the people that then prayed for me before I became Ilana Afrika Bredenkamp, that those people are still in my life. So if you're still in my life today, you know that you're still in my life because you prayed for me. Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly my experience as well. The church groups, you know, I'm not a group leaver. It's very difficult for me. So I'm still in the church WhatsApp groups on that side, and I still get all the notifications and the prayer requests. And those are the people that pray for me. And my mom will always say, "Julle moet nou bid vir Stef, sy voel nie lekker nie," and sy moet nou gaan sing. En dan kom jy gebede deur. And yeah, so that's what keeps me rooted and grounded.
Talking about being
Yeah.
grounded, I mean, we know you as a mom, and I have never, I'm not very good on social media. Like, I don't go and troll people, so I've never seen your babies. And then you're this businesswoman, and you've got all these different chapters about yourself. But if you had to, outside the bewater, Steph, and the one that we see on stage, and the one with the glamorous hair and the beautiful lipstick and that gorgeous makeup that you're wearing, if we had to talk about little Steph, who are you? Like, where are you?
I'm in my mom's kitchen in Bellville South, pretending to have lots of cameras around me, always in a cooking show. Ek bid vir hy cooking show om nog waar te raak, jy. Ek is nog nie 'n goeie kok nie, maar ek kan fake it. You know what I mean? So I always used to, as my ma gesê het, as sy bel huis toe, julle moet die rys so lank opsit. Then I have the camera ready there. There's no real camera, but a glass or whatever in my imagination. And I'm pretending to be cooking, and I'm busy telling them my life story. It's so amazing how many interviews I've done, Ilana, as an adult. But I think I did more as a child in my imagination.
Wow.
My parents, in our homes, there was our toilet and my mother's toilet. But my mom's toilet was always bigger than our toilet. So I used to sit in her toilet all the
And
time and
sing.
pretend and sing. And before I sing, I would just speak to the audience and say, thank you. It's such an awesome opportunity for me to be here. And just meet the, and then I would tell them about, but so funny that I never spoke about my husband. I always spoke about my kids. Should have prophesied better. But anyway, so I would always say, I've got two beautiful children. I never said the names though. And I would just tell them about this amazing life that I have. And I'd rub my mouth, Stephanie, and then I'd say, okay, thank you so much. It was awesome being here with you. Until the next time, goodbye. So that was me as a child, a wild imagination. And never did I know that this is where I would end up. And then a lot of things happened in my life that made me think that was just a dream. Until one day it wasn't anymore, and I was living that dream.
We speak so beautifully about prophesying, and I know you were joking when you said you never mentioned the husband and you should have prophesied about the husband. But if you look at the life, right, I quickly want to tell you this because it's like so unbelievable what you now see. My parents saw our neighbor the other day, right? So our neighbor growing up. So when we moved to Belleville, we had that big bathroom, the one big bathroom that you could bath in, and that was where I would
Yeah.
sing. And I would hit these high
Okay.
notes as a kid, notes 16 year old, and then I would sing in the bath, and it was like my safe place, and that's where I went to, like, I don't know, debrief the day.
Unwind, yeah.
And then my daddy said to me, Lance, the other day I saw our neighbor from then, and she said our bathroom window was across her kitchen window. And she used to hear you sing as a child. And you know
Oh.
what? For a moment there, Stephanie, I thought to myself, why aren't we reliving these moments when we were so happy, right? Singing in the toilet and in the bathroom, or pretend being interviewed. We should relive those moments because guess what? Even though your mom said, Stephanie, kom die kar weg, of wat ook al, kom by die badkamer uit, or even though my neighbors didn't mind, they would open the kitchen windows. It was actually a very cool time. We had nothing, but yet we had everything.
And you realize that there are seminars being held to teach people how to speak into their future by pretending. And we did that. We did that naturally. So it's really a concept that we should use more often as adults. We forget about speaking to ourselves in the mirrors unless you go for this crash course life coaching session where they actually actively activate that again in your brain. We forget that these are the things that brought us where we were. We were the pro we spoke it into our lives. We sang it into existence. We spoke it into existence. And then as an adult, life just becomes so busy that you forget to go to that happy place again, you know?
So it's
So it's
interesting.
absolutely right.
There's so many podcasts, I mean, not just on Baby Brunch, but just generally that talks about your inner child. And that seminar that you're talking about that manifests giving yourself that high five, Mel Robbins wrote a whole book about how to high five
Oh,
yourself. Yes, it actually ex exists.
wow.
So you are right.
Wow.
Perhaps it's time that we do go back to that time of dreaming and singing and speaking things into existence. If I look at your life and how we now talking about the good times and sometimes even the good times then didn't feel so good, but anyway, here we are. What do you think is the one thing that music taught you?
I think music for me, especially because I haven't written many songs of my own. I sing a lot of covers, a lot of songs that other people wrote, and internalizing that those songs and making it my own has been bring so much healing in areas where I didn't even know I needed healing. And then standing in front of an audience and being able to sing to them and realize that it's having the same effect on them is what allows me to feel like, okay, I've done my part as a singer. Music is something that when you're born, the very first voice that you hear is your mother's. And you think that's music because you don't know, you remember you came from heaven or the angels or whatever you believe, and there was singing. And then you get to your mom's heart, jy lê reg onder haar hart en sy praat met die mense hier rondom of sy praat met jou. In jou kop is dit musiek. And then to experience it for yourself and then internalize and actually bring that sound out of your mouth is it like completes the it dit maak dit vol, jy weet. So that is what music is to me. It's an immediate satisfaction to see the effect that it has on people. With acting, you get a chance, like if you mess up, you can cut and we'll do it again. With music, interpreting it right the first time is all you can do. Sometimes you get the luxury of saying, sorry, that was the wrong key. Can we start that again? But once you step onto that stage and you sing to the audience, you are live. And they are watching your every move. There's no second chance. And I have found that what has worked for me in my career is that I don't concentrate as much on singing the notes right, but in bringing the message of the song across in the best way possible that will touch someone's heart. Telling the story through what I'm singing. So whether I'm realizing, okay, my voice is not going to hit that note right now, then I just tell the story because I'm an interpreter. I'm interpreter using music. And I think that is what has given me the longevity in the industry. And I believe that it's still going to take me a lot further. So even if anything happens where I can't belt as much as I used to, I'm still able to tell the story because I've internalized it for myself, and I'm now conveying that message to the audience.
Be proud of you. I'm very proud of you, and I think you're incredible. And you're right. Your talent will take you many places. I believe that. I believe that
Thank you.
the way that you're using your talent and how you're touching people's hearts, like you say, we're using it for good or uplifting our youth. I've seen how young people look at you when you're standing on a stage and when those lights shine brightly on you. It's phenomenal to see. Or even you know how you meet people and then they're like, "What's she like?" If anyone had to ever ask me that about you, every backstage conversation when the cameras are not rolling has always been so beautiful with you. So I want to
Oh,
commend you
thank
on
you.
that. Yeah, and I want to say thank you for holding space for everybody, not just for our closest family or our church people, but even people in the industry and our youth that need you so much. You talked about
Thank
how
you.
life gives us. Or when it's about the music, you get onto stage and there's seldom that second chance. Or like in television, when the director says, "And action," they can say, "Cut, cut," and you can start again or you can reshape the words. There's some moments in your life and in mine where we can't shout cut. Life just runs ahead and we have to cope and we have to depend on holiness or at that time, sometimes resources that we don't even know we think we have. Being a mommy and how your priorities as a mom has changed overnight. Was there a time where you wished that the director of your life would just shout cut, stop?
Yeah, there were many such moments, many. But I think the biggest shift in my life was when I had to step away from a physically abusive marriage. My daughter was 8 and my son was 4. And I think when the because it's been the abuse was there since my daughter was 9 months old. And by the time she was now 8 years old, she was able to see. I couldn't hide it anymore. And then I realized that if these kids are now trying to protect me and say to me, Mommy, please just don't say anything, just don't say anything, in order to protect me, then I realized the burden that they are experiencing by trying to protect me as an adult. Yes, I was not yet 30 years old. I was just about to turn 32. I was very young, but I was an adult and I needed to make a decision. And I really wished there was someone that could tell me, okay, yes, you can go away. Yes, you will be okay. Yes, you'll end up here. Okay, it's the right decision, but there is no such a person. There's no one that's going to tell you this is what your future is going to look like, that you will be okay. At that moment, all you're thinking is, I don't know if I'm making the right decision, walking away from the only home that my kids have ever known, ending up in front of a police station with only our clothes around us and black bags and our clothes wrapped in duvet covers, duvet covers
Yeah,
that you
yeah.
hoi alles up in, and then you make a tie. And standing there, I think we got there about 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. And by 6 o'clock that evening, the police said, "Well, we are changing shifts now. You need to decide where you're going." And that time, my parents are all in the Western Cape. I have no one in Joburg with me, nowhere to go. None of my varsity friends, none of my actor friends, because by then I was already done with my studies. I just haven't yet started in the industry, and I thought that I would never. And to be able to by 6:30 that evening go through my phone because now it was getting dark, and I managed to call one of my friends. Her number had not changed over all these years. She was with me at varsity, and I called her and I said, "This is my situation. I know I haven't spoken to you in so long, but are you able to help me? I'm standing at so and so place, and yes, please come and." Yeah, the rest is history. But I mean, at times like that, you wish there was just someone that could say, "Okay, cut, let's redo this. Let's take you back to where you were at university before all of this happened, and you end up starting your career with the rest of your friends. Don't go on that route, go in this route." You know, but then I wouldn't have had my beautiful children, and I wouldn't have so much dearness for someone who's going through
Ja.
adversity,
Dit
who
daar's
say me
veerkragtigheid, determination, strength, courage, bravery.
also empathy. Also empathy for someone who's
Who's
struggling
going
with
through the same
me.
thing?
People are so judgmental. They say to you, "Oh, it's so easy, just go." And it's not that easy if you've got four little eyes looking at you.
You know what's interesting? I've heard you speak to me about this before, right? And I get sad every time. And then I thank God for where you are right now because you have blossomed and you are incredible and you've achieved. And a lot of the time, we're actually just going through what we need to do on that day. And we don't get to tell these personal stories when we are all backstage, right? But immediately, there's two things that comes up for me right now. If you had to say something to that friend, right, that came to fetch you and the babies at the police station that night when you were stranded, what do you want to say to her? Let's start there because I have another question.
Thank you for saying yes and for saving my life. Thank you for not being selfish and saying, it's a Sunday evening, I'm at home. I'm sorry, I can't help. Thank you for saying yes.
Ooh, Yella.
Yeah. Because if she didn't, I would have probably still been there.
Yella, Stephanie, man. And you know what? Ach, ek wil nou nie huil nie because I don't even have a tissue in sight.
Ja,
Baie
nee.
keer, né, dan baie keer dan sê ons maar ons is gelowige kinders, you know? And
Ja.
you know, we'll always go well with them because they've got God and you know. And here you are like someone who believes in God, who's done all the right things, you honor your parents and you are trapped in a situation where you don't know how to get out. And that was my second question. My second question is, I have been asked before, because I'm Ilana from the radio and because I'm Ilana from television, and we want to help a lot of people, right? Means it of my gevraal, how do I get out? And because my life has taken a different journey, I've had other challenges, but I've never been in an abusive relationship. I don't know what to say to people who ask me, how do I get out? So now I want to ask you, when is the right time? How do you know now's the time? How do you know I'm doing the right thing? How do you know? Do you know that I met someone yesterday and she said to me, Ja, my Lana, jy het al ver gekom. Jy weet, you know when to draw the line in the sand. She was talking about boundaries because I think I have perfected boundaries, okay? Like you cannot
Well
overstep.
done.
No, like come on. Okay? So she said to me, "Ma, jy het al ver gekom. You've come so far." She thought that boundaries was a thing that happens to you when you've come so far. And I was like, no, boundaries doesn't happen when you've come so far. You can have boundaries when you are you, when you are poor, when you are rich, when you are mom, when you are woman. You can have boundaries. So my question to you is, as person in abusive relationship, how, when do you know it's time? Go.
I think when you start believing the things that people say about you, that person who is abusing you, when you start believing that you deserve it, when you start making excuses, when you start saying, "Ja, maar ek moes seker maar 'n bietjie stil gebly het daar nie, ek verstaan dit was nou maar my skuld." When you start realizing that you are believing what the perpetrator is saying about you, then you know you are too far gone to continue. And the only little hope that you have of saving yourself is just stepping away from that situation. When I stepped out on that day and my friend came to fetch me and my face was badly beaten up and everything, I didn't know whether I will go back tomorrow. Do you understand? I didn't have it all planned out in my head.
Would
I
you
said to myself,
have gone back? Like because you didn't know and because you had no other resources, you standing there, would you have gone back?
If the people who I surrounded myself with when I cried for help were not there, I probably would have. There was a time when for that very next week, my parents came and they fetched me and they took me to their house in the Eastern Cape. I then got the job on Getroud met Rugby and I came to Joburg, left the kids with my mom. He literally went there, abducted the kids, brought them back to Joburg, and I couldn't see them. I had no case at the police, so I could not demand for my kids back because it's their father. So there's no way that I could say I want my kids back. So that was all an attempt for me to say, okay, I give up, I'm coming back home. But if I didn't allow people into my life who could speak into my life and who could say, Steph, we want to help you. Take it one day at a time. And just coming back to what I said in the beginning, that on that day when I left, I did not have it all planned out in my head. And I think that is the biggest problem with victims, that you want the whole thing to be planned out in your head and you want to say, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to move there, and I'm going to live there, I'm going to work there. This is what my life's going to be like. It's not going to work like that. All you have to do is take it one day at a time. And the first step is to step away from that situation. And then from there on, tomorrow you take another step. What do I need to sort out for this day? Okay, for this day, I need to find out, am I still okay to live here with these people? Okay, no, it's not okay. Let me find out where's my auntie, my mommy, my whatever. Okay, let me go there. Once you're there, okay, now I'm here now. What's the next step? Every step of the way needs to be planned out for that day. Because once you become so overwhelmed with what am I going to eat? Where am I going to work? Where are my kids going to go to school? You will end up going back. And I think that is what really helped me, Ilana, is to not think about what's going to happen a week from now. What's going to happen in the next hour? The sun is about to set. What am I going to do now? Okay, so now, all right, it's now set. Here's my phone. Okay, I'm going there. Once I'm there, next step, phone my mom. Mommy, this is what happened. Next step, okay, they're coming. Now I'm there. This is what's going to happen now. But if I had to plan it all out in advance, in my head, trying to figure it out, there would be nothing that would work because we don't hold our lives in our own hands. Unless you are in a financial position where you're able to do that. And many times, a lot of people are like me, where you didn't even have money to buy them a packet of chips and you're standing right across from the spa, but you couldn't get them anything to eat for that day. So now you're thinking it's too much. Ek gaan my nou net terug. But I'm telling you now, the next moment after that second step that you've taken, you will see that there is provision. that you are okay. You will not die. There are people that fast for months on end with no food. Why would you die? You know, and that's what I tell myself.
Don't laugh, man. I have 100 questions. I've thrown them all up because now, you're motivating and upsetting me and all in the same. Ay, man.
Yeah.
There's a book by Price Pritchard. I never thought I'd be quoting books in my podcast, by the way. It's not
Love
intentional, I
that for you. You
promise.
are so smart.
Yeah,
I
I sound
love
very smart now, but I'll give you the summary. There's a book by Price Pritchard. I happened to in it was either last year or beginning this year. I happened to interview him, and he talks about the quantum leap. It was last year. Talks about the quantum leap, and what he means by that is that sometimes with our decisions, right, we plan it so intensely that even the planning exhausts us. And through the grace of God, I had a friend, God forbid, he had a stroke, and I gave him the book on quantum leaping by Price Pritchard, and I said to him, walking after your stroke, you can't plan that. You just need to believe that you're going to do it. And the decision is his quantum leap. And the other day I got a video and he's walking. So I was like, told you,
Oh, that's
I was like, told
so.
you, I know, right? So I like the idea of doing something right, jumping into the right direction, and then suffering the repercussions because you are making a decision or you're jumping into the right direction for yourself and for your family. And what follows is, like you say, the next step of it becoming better, not
Yeah.
necessarily it becoming right. Like positivity doesn't always land joyous or like they do on the movies. Dun, 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 dun. No,
Yeah.
it's like joy is like that one step forward into the right direction, wait, I need to find questions to ask you because now we've cried and laughed and all I want is having you here, but you had a shoot and I chased everyone out of the house so that I could film you.
Same.
What kind of mother in the times that it was hard and in the times that it feels amazing, what kind of mother did you hope you'd become?
I think I hope that I'd become a mom who understands and who has empathy. I think my kids are, my daughter is 17 and my son is 14. So my age is quite close to them. They think I'm not cool, but I think I'm cool. I think I'm a cool mom who's been there. I've been around the block. So you can't even make fully, you know? And I've seen things and I've done things. So I think, and I want to be the kind of mom that understands that when they go through things, my heart is closer to understand what they are experiencing. And I think what my struggles have allowed me to do is to show them that you are able to overcome anything that comes your way, you
You
know?
are. You are. Yeah.
And in their little lives, that could be exams, that could be friends who don't want to talk to them anymore, or seeing things that other kids have that they also want and they can't have. And then just showing them that, listen, no, the nothing that you go through now is forever. Please remember where we came from and how life has changed. So this thing that you want now, you might not have it now, but if you work hard enough, you will. Because that's the only experience I have. I've also this a story that I like telling is that when we now after everything that's what we've been through and now we're living in the burbs with uncapped Wi-Fi and all that,
And
and
dogs.
then
Do you have
one day
dogs? Do you have
there's
pets?
a beautiful dog, Pinky, gorgeous.
Oh.
Yeah, so with all that, and then if then they start complaining, Mommy, why is the Wi-Fi off? Why is the Sê, okay, klim gou hier in die kar. Ons vat gou 'n drive. Ons vat gou 'n drive and then we drive through. I don't want to say the name, but yeah. Because it's closer to where I stay. And on the day that I took them through there was a lady throwing out water into the street. And ek sê vir hulle, "Do you know that that was that lady's bath water now?" Because they're not exposed to that. Do you understand? And then immediately when I said that, I said, "Do you see how This woman, she's still smiling, laughing with her friends, throwing out her bath water or her laundry water and whatever. And you're living in this comfortable home in Melville. You have Wi-Fi, even if it buffers sometimes. You have a warm bed to sleep in. There used to be a time in our lives when this and this and this and that. And after all of that, we could have lived here. But look where you are. And then I get home and then they straight again for a week. And then after a week, I'm like, and then I'm, kom ons gaan gou weer vir 'n
Stuff for a
drive.
drive. I'm gonna do that. Let's go for a drive. Yeah,
I think
I
it's very
like
important
the
because they're
to
not
show them.
exposed. They're not exposed to that kind of life.
The
And showing them on YouTube is not the same as
it's not the
them
same. You're
seeing
right.
you.
It's not the same. I met a client the other day, and her children wouldn't believe. They thought the slums were only in like overseas. They didn't believe that. That in South Africa where they stay, that people can be disadvantaged. And she did the same thing. And you know, our kids that are able to travel and see the world, when they land in Cape Town where Oma and Opa stays, they see people next to the highway, and they see how different. I mean, Cape Town wanted to build a whole wall, you know, to make sure that, I
Hide
don't
that,
know. So I think it's so important, like you're saying, to perspective, but even perspective in our own lives, you know. Even when I have a little, I feel like I have a lot, because I grew up knowing that the little that I had was provided by the Lord, you know. That's it. You know what's interesting? Even in the midst of how I grew up, right? And I don't know if it's the same for most people, but what I know is, because my parents are God-fearing people, very chill, very calm. My mom's quite charismatic, whereas my dad is quite sensible, especially with numbers. Growing up, I never thought that I had nothing. Growing up, I
Neither.
never thought I. Do you know that only in my 20s, when I started working, right? When I stopped after my first audition, when I started TV, I realized that, oh, I'm supposed to have feelings about this thing about how I grew up, you know? But before then, it wasn't a thing for me. I was quite happy with how things were. And in my mind, I thought, I spoke about this on a financial show the other day. Someone talked about growing up and donating money in the plate, donasis, like in the church, you know, like when the money bag, when the money plate comes around,
Operanda.
offeranda. And I said to them, for us, it was not unusual to ask after church, who does not have a place to eat today because you're coming home with us? It wasn't like a thing. It was just how it was. So only in my 20s did I learn what selfishness really looks like, because it was never in my home. It was never in my home, and it wasn't in my community, and it wasn't in my church. And that emotion of like, you can't sit with us. You can't have, you know, mine. I learned it very late, much later. Much, much later. And it's still an emotion that doesn't sit well with me.
The rude awakening. It's like adulting 101 that no one taught you if you grew up as sheltered as we did. Then when you get to the reality of what adulting looks like, which is not supposed to look like, but that's the reality. It can really shock you.
If you're leaning over your wife's shoulder and you just logged into this podcast and you're wondering what is going on here, it started out as ek het net gepraat met 'n sangeres en 'n kunstenaar, and I wanted to chat to an entrepreneur and a mom. But instead, we got resilience, veerkragtigheid, how to get up, how to make the next step, how sometimes when we dream, right, it doesn't have to all be planned. You can dream and take the first step, that quantum leap, and it will work out. As a mom, sometimes a single mom, sometimes as a working mom, sometimes as an entrepreneur, how do you prioritize? I don't want to use the word balance. I sometimes find that the word balance leaves me feeling unfair. So I want to talk about priorities. What do you prioritize as a mom who has to wear all those different hats?
Ilana, I think as a single mom, I have to be honest. Not that I don't prioritize my kids, but unfortunately, I'm all they've got. And that is why you see me all over the place. You see me singing, not dancing, acting, radio hosting, and I mean the mom guilt, the guilt, hy slut feel, because it makes you feel that you are not prioritizing your kids. But what I've learned to help me to cope, and it might be, I don't know, bluffing myself, is that me prioritizing working for my kids is me prioritizing my kids. There are opportunities that my kids might miss out on if I say I have to be at home and take care of them. I can't work as hard as I am. And I think God has really blessed me with very emotionally mature kids. My mom always says to me, you must remember, your journey is your journey, but these two kids also have their journey. And whatever is happening to them is also molding them. And I think that, yes, my negative experience molded them into these wonderful young twins that they are, because they are so understanding, they are so supportive. I am doing the midnight shift on RSG every Thursday night, and they are so in tune with my schedule. They know, okay, so from 4 o'clock on a Thursday, mommy's not going to be at home, and we'll see her the next morning. And then they're happily home alone, and I come back, and the dishes was washed, and they are showered, and no one needed to say anything. They just help me to be able to feel as if I'm coping as a mom, whereas I'm just busy taking the one hat off, wearing the other, in order to make sure that at the end of the month I'm able to pay the things that needs to keep them alive. So in those moments, you can feel that you're not prioritizing your kids, but you are. You are. And there will come a time when you are able to sit down and just be. And I thank God for the mornings that I get to drop them off at school, where we can sit and chat and pray in the car and say, "Wie nog gister gebid? Okay, Simfie is jou beurt, bid. Okay, Thomas, jou beurt, bid. Okay." And yeah, it's just like it's those are the special moments and the small moments. But then I only get home again after they are in bed, and then can sometimes make you feel like, yo, I'm not a good mom. But what you were doing in that day was all for them. So yeah, that's how I prioritize. I cannot say I have to do only one thing and be a mom. That is me being a mom.
Well, with all your different hats, you wear them so well.
Thanks, Ilana.
You wear them so
Thank
well.
you.
I did not
Thank
think that this
you.
is how we were going to spend this evening together, my love. I am, you
No,
know.
thank you. It's such an honor for me to be with you.
What does reinvention mean to you? Like, if someone says, because I'm thinking of the different stages of our children, right? Like, I have four kids, so I am grade three for the fourth time, and it's different every single time. And I'm thinking of how I'm reinventing for my kids. Like, for instance, my eldest, she really has the best of me right now. Because when I had her for the first time as a 7-year-old, I was fancy. Was I fancy? I was fancy, but so inexperienced, right, with this whole thing. So reinvention for me means, wow, right now, like as I'm sitting here, I feel fit. I feel like I've got most of my stuff together, you know. I feel wiser in my 40s, and I'm on top of this menopause thing because I showed menopause, okay, like that I'm going to take it to the gym. So that for me is reinvention. Like, I feel like I can touch it. What is it like for you?
Sure, that's a difficult one. When it comes to the kids and finding a, you not knowing what child is going to stand in front of you right now, what's their personalities change as the days go on. One moment they like you, the next moment they like you a little bit less. And then going deep inside yourself and saying to yourself, there's a piece of that child in me. And then finding out what side of Steph is this child busy acting out right now. And then finding empathy with that and dealing with that. I realized that my son is a lot like me in terms of if something becomes too overwhelming, then he lets it go for a while. Procrastination, you know? And so I'm able to say to him, I know how you feel. I'm also like that. If I have too much lines to study, if I have too many words and I can't get it in my head, then I just leave it. And then I don't want to study. But then on the day when they say action, I won't know what to say, and I don't want to be in that position. So I would rather do it. So I know how you're feeling right now. You don't list for it. And so you want to run away from it. But I want you to know that if you're going to study it now, you're going to feel so much better tomorrow when you see that blank question paper in front of you. Be inventing who I am so that I can match with where they are in each phase of their lives. You know what I mean?
I have like two questions left that I want to ask you. I mean, it's the month of August. I experience you as the ultimate woman. It's almost impossible to understand that you're the single mom doing it so intentionally, and beautifully by yourself. What would your message to all women be, as you're sitting in your glamour, knowing that it doesn't always look the way that you look tonight?
I would say what has really kept me, Ilana, is not comparing myself to my friends and peers. Do you know that is the biggest killer of anyone's dreams? Because you know, you will put yourself in such debt. You will put yourself in such positions where you, because you want to portray this life that you cannot uphold for where you are right now. And I'm not saying don't dream. I'm not saying don't have hopes or aspirations for yourself, but not comparing yourself to someone else or to your friends or to people you see. We always say this to little kids. Stay away from social media because you're gonna want to dream and have the things that other kids have. But us as ladies and as adults, we do that all the time. Ek sien nou jou mooi plante daar agter, dink ek, "Jo, ek het regtig min plante, mes."
I know what
No,
you
hon, ek
mean.
And I'm gonna now go and open an account at home because I also want plants like that. Next thing, you find yourself in a position where you are not able to maintain your life and you cause stress on yourself. And you, when I remove this wig that I'm wearing so beautifully, Ilana,
Oh, love
dan is
it.
ek net Stephanie. Verstaan jy? Ek is Stephanie van die Bijbel sê, and what you see is what you get. I was living in the south of Johannesburg in that situation I was at, and I was sitting and watching all my friends on TV. My best friend that was a Kosa's kamermaat, saam met my, was on Sewende Land since we finished first year, Hildegard Whites. And she played Bonita. Oh, I love her so much. We still call each other flatmate until this day. And I would sit there and dream and wish and want that for myself as well. And life took its long turn with me, long, far off turn with me. I did not sell my soul to the devil to get to where I am. I did not sell my body to get to where I am. I did not put myself in any situation where I cannot be able to say this was all God. You know, I took my time to get to where I am. And sometimes we can put ourselves in such positions where we want to be where others are. We want our kids to wear the clothes that other people's kids have and put so much unnecessary pressure on
Pressure,
ourselves just because we want to look and have maintain a certain image. But then those things that you are maintaining is like that you are grabbing on is like candy floss that can disappear in your mouth just like that. But the things that you work hard for, and even if it takes time, it is the things that will remain and will stay. So I wish I can tell that to all my friends who are, or the people that I grow up with that I grew up with in Bellville. Maybe you are working at ShopRite at the moment and you're like, yo, I also want that. I don't want to live like this anymore. Yes, it's okay to dream. Yes, it's okay to have aspirations for yourself. But don't put yourself in a position that you're not going to be able to maintain. Be grateful for where you are in your life. Make it as beautiful and as comfortable for where you are right now. And as I said earlier, each day is one step at a time. And those are the things that will now stay because you've worked very hard for it.
There's so many parents listening, and we are so inspired and motivated by everything that you've. Oh, ek het so 'n knop in my keel. Dit gaan net nie weg nie. I want to talk about this month and some of the things that you'll be doing on stage, because here's the thing: on radio and on TV, we don't get to see this, Stephanie. I feel so blessed that I got to see this now, because even when we work together, there's 5 minutes of quickly catching up, we never get
It's
to
so
talk like
cool.
this. So thank you for your time, thank you for reminding us that motherhood doesn't have to just be dreams, that there's deeper purpose for yourself as a mom and as an entrepreneur and as just a human. That if we want to dream, then we can just honestly follow our hearts. And if we're in a tricky and abusive relationship, that we don't have to plan that much, that we can just make the decision and take it step by step. And so while I'm listening to the story that you've written beautifully with God and where you are, sure, we wish your children such an amazing life, and for you as well. May God bless you in
Thank
every
you.
PR position in your life. Where are you performing this month?
So I'm going to be at the Kalfi Fest. That's in Hermanus, in the middle of August. I cannot remember the dates, but I will send them to you, Ilana.
We'll make sure we'll post them.
Please, yeah. So I'll be doing a show called "A Diskatkis van ons Musiekverlede." My vriende sê altyd vir my, "O, Stephanie, jy is die gesig van versoening tussen die nasies." So ek oh, dankie, dankie as julle my so sien. All I'm doing is trying to survive. And all I'm doing is just living out my love for music. And I have a big love for Afrikaans music. And I'm grateful for the platform that Cape Net has set for me because that's where I started acting for the first time. And that's my following and my audience, and so they enjoy seeing me singing in Afrikaans. So this show, Skatkis uit ons Musiekverlede, is me singing sh songs by Joy. Come with me down Paradise Road. That's where I start the show, and then that is the golden thread that runs right through the show. And along that journey, I pick up songs by Sonja Harold, Min Shaw, Mynie Grobe, Lyrica Rao, and I sing music by these South African legends, PJ Powers, and somehow we are all connected as women, and it's such an honor for me to be able to sing the songs of these legendary women who has shaped us and tells our stories. So that is what Skatkis is about, and I'll be showing that in at the Kalfi Fest in Hermanus. And then there's a one-woman show that I'm also doing called Wirt. And that will be on the 23rd of August at the Atterbury Theatre in Pretoria. That's a bit closer to home. And that show is about me and my life. And some of the stories that I told you here today, I chose not to talk about the abuse in the show because it's a story about what shaped me. And I don't believe that your negative stories are the only things that shapes you, you know? There are stories about me growing up in church, stories about how I came to look the way I look, speak the way I speak, growing up in Cape Town with gladde hare kinders as my friends, and then me with my kruse hair, and when the sun starts shining, I reg jy dark and lovely, you know, coming through. You know, I know you know what I'm talking about, Ilana. I know you know what I'm talking about when the sun starts hitting that head. You know?
No, and then I'm laughing because do you know how many people touch my hair and go, "Is it your own? How do you get it like that?" It's a question. I will not even lie to you. It's like 3 times a day. Oh my goodness.
It's a real thing. Growing up
Oh
in
my
Cape Town,
goodness.
your hair was a big
It was a
thing,
big thing.
you know?
That's why I just cut mine
And
off. Have you even known me with hair?
I
Never.
love that. I
Like,
love that. I really, and that is what is so special about this show for me is because for the first time I expose myself without my wig to the audience,
love it.
and I do the entire show with bald headed. And the show is about reconciliation. It's about understanding that everyone has a story, and that if we just take the time to listen to each other's stories, then we realize how much we actually have in common.
Common,
No
you're
matter what the
right.
color of our skin is, just because you're white, I'm black, you're colored, or you're mixed, or whatever you choose to call yourself, we are all connected in some way, and that is what work does. I have had such great responses from audiences where they say, I forgot about this story in my life, and listening to you just brought this back.
Reminded me,
Nothing that happens
right.
in our life is by chance. Everything that happens is for you to be able to help someone else or to have a story to tell. And then we go and we drown those stories with the burdens of life. And sometimes it's lekker to just go to the theater and be able to listen to someone else's story and be reminded of your own, you know? So Wurt will be at the Atterbury Theatre on the 23rd. It's a Sunday of August. And I really hope that you'll come and see it, Ilana. I think you'd love, love, love
I'm gonna
seeing
come. I want to see
it. Thank
you
you.
there.
Thank you. I'd
You
love to.
have blessed us so much. Happy Women's Month. Thank you for your time.
Happy
Sing
Women's
for
Month.
my een
Thank you.
koortjie. Sing for my iets wat jamme groot geword het. Soos, I don't know why this is coming up for me, but daai koortjie man. Hy is nog dieself.
Ja.
Der hier.
Daar is so
Die
die wonder
onder
lekker Jesus.
Jesus,
Neem
namadada,
hom aan.
ons
Ons
prys
prys
sy
sy
naam, hy is nog
naam.
dieselfde hier.
Jesus.
Oh. I want to tell you this, that you have no idea the big blessing that you are. You are a big blessing for so many people, for so many people. You will
Thank you.
never comprehend and understand the big blessing that you are and what you mean for so many people. And so
And so are you.
therefore you will have longevity and you will have your voice and you will have money and you will have finances and you will have an answer always. And you will
Amen.
always have enough. Oh, I'm so excited. You will
It's
have in
true.
abundance so much that you'll be able to share it with people around you.
That's what I want. Thank you.
I'm very
Amen.
happy that you joined us today.
Welcome.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me. Such an honor.
Ek kuil
Thank
nou al
you.
weer.
Thanks so much for listening to this podcast. This podcast is supported by Epimax, the dermatologist recommended skincare range specifically formulated to hydrate, soothe, and protect. Whether it's dry skin, sensitive skin, or just everyday moisture, Epimax has a solution for everybody. Fragrance-free, hypoallergenic, and suitable for all ages. Curaprox aims to create 1 billion healthy smiles. A healthy mouth means a healthy body and mind, creating better health for you. Great oral health starts from day one. It's never too early to start. Curaprox Baby gets your child on the right path of starting healthy oral care habits for life.